Blog Talk Radio.
Let me try and get close with you.
You wanna see my girl? I ain't that dumb. You wanna see my girl? Check Maxim. Man, why does every black actor gotta rap some? I don't know, all I know is I'm the best one.
It's a bonfire, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. It's a bonfire, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about.
You know these rapper dudes talk, talk, start killing. That got booms like an arch villain.
Broadcast live and heard around the world. You are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
For my cousin, now he can't even think straight. Black and white music, now that's a mixtape.
Thank you, Rob. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this September 25th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com live from the Gatorade Studios. Support for the show is also provided in part by FanDuel. FanDuel and the FFPC proudly bring you the FFPC Daily Fantasy Championship. Compete for more than $25,000 in prizes and 11 free FFPC main event teams now at FanDuel.com. Greetings and salutations to all the Balkaholics and Gerzakin addicts. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, what Saints should you be playing this week? With television commercial superstar Luke McCown as the new QB1 in the Big Easy, and what's the winning FFPC daily lineup? Find out from Dave Gerzak later on in the show. Plus, main event leader Bob Riley joins us, fantasy value of a pair of Dolphins, how he built his squad, and how he has been so successful in the FFPC main event over the past 8 years. Shout out to the chat room right now. Feel free to post any questions you guys might have in there. We have Henry Mudo, Mint's been jammed up, Wiggy, and amongst others hanging out in there. You can connect with us on Twitter at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak. Our guest tonight, Bob Riley, is actually on Twitter at Bob Riles. You can follow him there. You can post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. If you want to chime in and talk with us, go ahead and give us a call at 347-426-3682. That's 347 game over. You can also email the show at the FedEx inbox at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions, now's the time to send them. We have our producer and mutual friend, Rob. We have our audio engineer, Bryce, working very hard tonight, and they'll get us those questions later on in the show. We've been getting some complaints that we haven't read emails the past few weeks, but we've had so much good information from our guests, and we've had a lot of NFL news to cover, as well as the advent of our HSFFH, FFPC, DFS, FCLA segment. So there's been a lot going on in the show. We'll do our best to get to as many emails as we can. I know. It's HSFFH, FFPC, DFS, FCLA.
Yeah, that's better.
It's better, but it's not. It still needs to be better. And the big thing on the show tonight, we have an extremely special announcement coming up at the end of the show about what's going on with this show next week. It's huge, Dave.
That's cool. See,
it's massive.
Howard Stern, WNBC.
WNBC.
See, he practiced.
So you're pig vomit?
Yes, I'm pig vomit.
Actually, I think Alex would be pig vomit. So
I'm the guy that does the gimmicks and crap with the drums and whatever.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Fred was his name.
Fred.
Fred with the beret.
Yeah, the sidekick. Yeah. The weird sidekick Fred guy.
He was great. So I'm Howard Stern.
Yes. You're the talent.
Perfect. So this is like, I have to talk sexually to you on the show?
Yeah,
oh, Dave, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? You're beautiful. You're beautiful men. Let me tell you what I do to you. Let me tell you what I do to you.
That's about lesbians, not about me.
Well, I can't. There's no lesbians on the show tonight. I mean, it's an all lesbian show next week. So I've ruined it. But you know what? There might be more coming up later on in the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you to play the FFPC Daily Fantasy Championship. You can check your FFPC email this week, as well as our FFPC Twitter account. The link to sign up is there. It's a private league. Even if it fills up with 420, we're still paying out more than 120% ROI on that. Very fun thing to do. You can win a main event team. The top three finishers will move on to the free Week 12 final. $25,000 in cash going on there. And we're going to give you some advice later on in the show. Dave has a lineup. I have a lineup. We'll go through it and tell you who we like this week. And you can formulate your lineup tonight. If you want to plug in more than one lineup, you definitely can do that as well. You can check that out. Again, it's a private league, so you won't find it on FanDuel if you go on there. But the link will be in the email. We're sending out an email tomorrow morning as well, so check that out. And I want to thank Roto World for tonight's rundown, Dave. Anything that you want to say before we get started?
Go ahead, Balky. Let's rock and roll.
Andre Ellington practiced today for the Cardinals. He's going to be a game-time decision Sunday against the 49ers. This, according to Mike Jarecki on Twitter. Originally, after he sprained his PCL, Dave, he was going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. But the fact that he is practicing today is exciting. Remember, he did not practice Wednesday, did not practice Thursday. He was technically limited today. Chris Johnson did touch the football 20 times last week. But remember, David Johnson, the star of the show, 2 touchdowns last week, albeit 1 on special teams. It's a late game, Dave. And I got to tell you, I don't own Ellington in any of my season-long stuff this year. I don't think – no, I don't own him anywhere. If I did, I would totally find a better option at noon. Or even maybe not necessarily a better option, just to get somebody in there. Because I don't feel real good about Ellington playing. And even if he does, I don't feel good about him carrying the rock a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play at all.
And that's all you have to say about it.
See, yeah, I mean, okay, when someone's limited, it's like, okay, he's probably not going to play.
Maybe you're like the Robin Quivers of the show, rather, because like she's just like.
Well, you have to give an analysis.
I'm not going to play Ellington. And you're like, oh, Balky.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so you don't play Ellington. David Johnson, to me, is like, he's a more talented player, younger, fresher legs. If I had to choose between those two players, I had him, I would go with David Johnson. And even though Chris Johnson didn't look absolutely terrible.
Right. He had 20 touches, you know.
Johnson's pretty explosive, though. David Johnson.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, people, if Ellington's health – or not healthy, but if he's active, doesn't mean he's going to be the bell cow. I mean, he could touch the ball 5 times or 6 times. You know, that's entirely possible as well.
Yep.
Rams coach Jeff Fisher said today that Todd Gurley and Trey Mason split first-team reps evenly in practice all week. This according to Rams beat writer Nick Wagoner on Twitter. Gurley is listed as questionable, but he practiced in full all week. Looks like he's going to make his long-awaited NFL debut against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it sounds like Gurley and Mason probably going to rotate on early downs. Benny Cunningham going to be handling the passing situations for the Rams on Sunday. Ryan Shazier, the stellar linebacker for the Steelers, is not playing this week. But, Dave, I mean, you can't be too excited about playing Gurley unless you're desperate. I think you should find a different option other than Gurley because – this is not only his first game of the season, it's his first NFL game, it's his first game coming off an ACL. He's going to be splitting time. Do you want to play a quick would you rather with Todd Gurley?
Sure, let's roll.
All right, would you rather play on – don't play it, Rob. Would you rather play Todd Gurley or if Chris Ivory's out, Bilal Powell?
I'd play Powell.
You'd play Powell. What about if Andre Ellington is out, Chris Johnson?
I'd probably play Gurley for fun. It'd be more fun.
I'm assuming, well, DeMarco Murray's questionable, but if he misses, you're playing Ryan Matthews over Todd Gurley, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What about if Murray plays? Are you playing Matthews over Gurley?
Matthews over Gurley if DeMarco Murray plays.
Right.
I'd probably roll Gurley out there.
And you're playing Gurley over McFadden, right?
Yeah.
So I think, like, given, I mean, unless you have a really good choice, you're probably going Gurley just for the upside. But bear in mind, to temper expectations, I think that's always good advice.
If your team is worse than your opponent's team, then I would throw Gurley out there just because you have more of an upside shot.
You know, I didn't realize you posted the secret FanDuel link in the chat room. You should have said something. So anybody listening live right now can click on that link and set your lineup. Actually, don't set your lineup yet. Just enter it and then set it on later on in the show.
Yeah, there you go.
You were going to say something.
I was going to ask you, do you post the link on the little show rundown like we were talking about?
Mm.
You suck.
No, you know what? I think I did this week, actually. In fact, should I –
no, don't
I can't.
End
okay, I won't.
You almost ended the episode.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. But I'm almost positive I posted it this week.
No, neither. All right.
So there you go.
Moving on
to what's next.
Drew Brees. I'm going to say that he's out this week.
He's
Drew
out.
Brees, don't play Drew Brees.
Yeah, Nick Underhill on Twitter saying that.
More expectations for his name. Blah 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 blah.
Okay, well, how far are you lowering him? Would you? I mean, like, Cooks is still playable, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you probably have to. You don't have to play him, but you probably.
Rob was concerned about playing Cooks this week. I said still play him.
I benched him in the leagues I can afford to bench him, but otherwise I can play him.
Colston, I think you can bench.
Yeah, probably.
And I think Ingram, people don't want to say it, but I think this is good for him because he's going to be touching the ball more. He could be a good dump-off guy as well.
Yeah, and even Spiller might get a little more action if they're trying to do ground and pound.
That's another good point as well. So don't panic if you own Saints because short of Marcus Colston, I think they're still all playable.
Even more important, I mean, one other thing too that no one's talking about yet is Breeze, this could be a multi-week injury. I mean, if they're calling him out already, that there's a decent possibility he's missing next week too.
I guess my whole – well, it's not like they listed him out already. I mean, they waited until Friday. I mean, they didn't make the announcement on Wednesday or anything, or even like, you know, Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, but I mean, then you're not making a game time decision or anything like that, and he can't even throw the ball. So if you can't even throw the ball, what are you doing next week?
Who are you worried about long term on this team if Breeze does miss several weeks and New Orleans drops out of the playoff chase earlier than expected?
Well, I mean, Cooks is at this point, Cooks has a strong potential to turn into a second round bust actually.
Yeah, that's true.
He did move up so much,
right?
He was not our ascendant, but you know, he really was the player that did ascend. You know. Did ascend really high.
Yeah.
People are starting to draft him, you know, with the Breeze connection really early.
Jay Berg, good friend of the show, is playing Ingram. He's playing Spiller. He's sitting as Saints receiver. So he's sitting Cooks and Colston.
Right.
So you can honestly make the case for it. I think Rob was saying, trying to think what his decision was.
The team is turning into a train wreck. It's just not, you know, they're kind of, this week they're kind of still going to go a little bit on reputation, but now that Breeze is out, it's like this isn't the Saints you know and love.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you rather play Brandon Cooks? I'm sorry, I forget who they play this week. It's Carolina, I want to say. Okay. Yeah, they're at Carolina.
It's a tough matchup, all
right. Right. So would you rather play Cooks at Carolina, or would you rather play Anquan Boldin at Arizona?
I'd play Boldin for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What about FFPC scoring?
Boldin has a better quarterback throwing team. We have to keep in mind who's throwing the ball. He has Kaepernick. And even though Kaepernick sprays it like whatever, you know, he's still a better quarterback than Jimmy Clausen, right?
Is it Clausen? Yeah, no, Clausen is for the Bears.
Same thing.
Luke McCown for the Saints.
Like, you know, I don't want to remember these backup quarterbacks. The same piece of crap in your team.
Let me ask you something. FFPC scoring, Cooks at Carolina or Kyle Rudolph at home against the Chargers?
FFPC?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd play Rudolph.
Really? Oh, you're down on Cooks.
I'm down on Cooks a little bit this weekend.
Okay, that's fine. So you're not touching him in daily, obviously.
No.
Yeah, okay. No. Fair enough, my friend. Let's move on and talk a little bit about DeMarco Murray.
I'm going to pull up the depth chart so I can find all the backup quarterbacks that are starting this week.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Clausen is starting. Josh McCown, in my heart, is the backup quarterback for Cleveland.
You know, Clausen makes pretty good pickles that you can put on the sandwiches.
Is it Clausen? I know it's a different spelling, but...
Yeah.
I was at the grocery store the other day, and I wanted to get some of the Famous Dave's hot, spicy pickle spears. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't, like, with the amount of sugar in there, I couldn't – not that there's a ton, but I couldn't
– In pickles?
Yeah, with the hot and spicy stuff. Okay. They dump sugar in there.
The Polish one, some Milwaukee spice.
I couldn't – but I don't even – it's like, why am I – here's my thinking. Why am I eating the hot and spicy ones when the regular ones have fewer calories? And why am I eating the regular ones when the hot and spicy ones are so much better? So you know what I did? Didn't get either one. Just moved on.
Oh, man. You're counting those calories, Bucky.
DeMarco Murray is listed as questionable for week three against the Jets after he practiced in full today. The expectation is, of course, that Murray will play. However, workload could be reduced because his guards stink, because he is doing poorly this year, and because he has a hamstring injury.
And he's playing the Jets.
And the Jets' defense. Let me ask you this. In a vacuum, who are you playing between Murray, Matthews, and Sproles, if they're all active?
I kind of like Sproles,
actually. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. Going to catch passes?
I like the analysis where it's like it doesn't look like they're going to be running up the middle against the Jets. They're probably going to be down, actually. I think the Jets spank them, possibly.
It's all about game scripts. And what's the game script for this game? There's not really one that –
the Eagles suck. Yeah, that's the season-long.
Yeah, the Eagles are going to be able to pound out Murray and Matthews between the tackles all game. Probably not. Now the Jets are going to be missing. Probably going to be missing Eric Decker. They might be missing Chris Ivory as well. So maybe this is more of an up and down game than we think. Because Bilal Powell catches a lot of passes too.
Powell was really good when I saw him playing. I don't think they're going to miss much with losing Ivory. You know, Decker's good, but Marshall's going to absorb a lot of those targets. I think they'll be fine.
Bob Riley, the FFPC main event leader, just around the corner. One final point I want to bring up before we get to him. Tevin Coleman officially listed as out against. But I am so self-conscious when I say about or out now because Baker boy, Joe Delzanero, when we hung out with him in Vegas, hasn't seen me in a few years. And literally the first thing he called me out on was that heavy Northeast Wisconsin accent again, or the semi-Canadian accent. And now I'm all about trying to say it properly and not saying about and
out.
Oh, so terrible. Tevin Coleman is out this week against the Cowboys. Devontae Freeman going to be the bell cow this week for Atlanta. Dave, you want to play a quick would you rather with him to help out
sure.
Some fantasy owners this week? Okay.
Preface this by me saying I think Devontae Freeman is a low-talent player. He's not fast. He's undersized. But I think, you know, the offense is good, so he's got some potential to do something this week.
Devontae Freeman at the Cowboys or Deion Lewis at home against the Jags?
You know, word is that Deion Lewis might be used a little bit less this week, especially if the Patriots are 14-point favorites or be pounding the ball. LeGarrette Blount's going to get some carries. So I'll take Freeman.
I agree. Devontae Freeman at the Cowboys or Frank Gore at the Titans?
I like Gore for a bounce back, actually. I think the Colts have been so bad that I think Gore does really well this week. I'll take Gore.
I agree as well. Devontae Freeman at the Cowboys or Chris Ivory at home against the Eagles, obviously assuming he's active?
I would take Freeman just because he's not hurt.
I would take Ivory in that sense. I don't trust that
Ivory plays the whole game.
It's fine. Devontae Freeman at the Cowboys or T.J. Yeldon at the Patriots?
I'll take Freeman because I don't, you know, again, getting 14 points, I don't think the Jaguars are going to be running the ball much. This could be one of those games where Yeldon, at the half, he's got 4 carries for 12 yards, and at the end of the game, he's got 8 carries for 15 yards, and you're like, oh, that sucked.
I'm sorry, I missed that. You took Freeman, right?
Yeah, Freeman.
Okay, I agree. And final one, Devontae Freeman at the Cowboys or Joseph Randle at home against the Falcons?
Oh, that one's kind of interesting. That's pretty much it's kind of a push. I guess I'll take Freeman. I don't really trust Randle. They're still mixing up with the other guys.
Well, and you know, God knows what Brandon Whedon's going to do to that offense this week.
Good
too.
Point. Let's bring in our guest, buddy.
Let's bring in our guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He has actually been playing high stakes fantasy football since 2002. Over that time, his 13 main event teams have compiled a record of 86-57. That's good enough for a 601 winning percentage. They have also finished in the money 6 times with 3 individual league championships, 3 third place finishes, and 2 top 60 overall finishes. He's also enjoyed a similar rate of success across several online high stakes satellite leagues and related competitions, but he is currently sitting atop the 2015 FFPC main event leaderboard. Please welcome into the show, Mr. Bob Riley. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Eric and Dave. How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing very well. Excited to have you on the show. This is 2 weeks in a row. We get the FFPC main event leader on. Very exciting for you to see your name up there, but you're certainly not spending any of that cash yet, are you?
I'm not spending any of that cash yet, but I got to tell you guys, while I'm excited to be on the show, I am a little bit concerned that you guys may have kind of a Sports Illustrated cover jinx developing here. So that
you know,
last week.
It's not the first time we've heard that, Bob. And I got to tell you, a lot of people, when we contact them to come on the show early in the season, like, oh, yeah, you know, I listen to the show. It's a fun show. I love you guys. I'll come on or whatever.
But they don't
say it. They say it all the time. But I'm telling you, Bob, like week 13, 14, 15, it is like pulling teeth trying to get these leaders to come on the show because they don't want to jinx anything. So
they're shopping for Christmas presents.
You may be onto something later in the season for sure.
Yeah, Bob, I saw the boat drop from first out of the top 50 last week. So I hope the same doesn't happen to me. As a matter of fact, I hope I'm talking to you guys again next week.
That'd be perfect. We'll just root for you putting up like a 200 plus this week, and we'll just hang out and chat about it. We'll chat. We'll literally spend a half hour next week talking about your week 3 performance.
By the way, at the end of the show, whoever is the guest, Balky's always like, we're really rooting for you. We want you to win it. So don't, you know.
Oh sure. You know, every week.
The thing is, I you know, I meet so many cool people and so many FFPC players that I really like. It's hard to talk to them for a half hour and not like, oh, man, I really want this guy. You know what I mean? Or woman, you know, whoever it is. I really want them to win at the end of it, you know. And at the end of the season, it's so great because I get to pull for, you know, a dozen guys, you know, trying to win the whole thing. So, and Bob, you will join that list tonight. Anyway, Dave, go ahead.
All right, so Bob, when you're not leading our main event, what are you doing for a living? And where do you live, too? Are we asking that, Valky, or is that no big deal? All right, let's just say, what are you doing for a living? You're always getting trouble questions.
Well, I saw you guys posting my picture on the site, and I'm proudly wearing an Eagle shirt there, so I'm in Philadelphia area, South Jersey, actually. As far as what I do for a living, you know, this is a question that I sometimes dread hearing because you remember the good old days when the answer to this question might be, doctor, teacher, fireman, and everyone will know what that is, and you just move on. Well, for me, I'm an executive pay consultant with a firm called Exequity, and what that means, before you guys ask, a lot of people will ask that next, is we advise large corporations on the magnitude and the construction of compensation packages for their top executives. So that's what I do, and I think I just heard a bunch of people logging off the site. So sorry, guys.
So
what do you think of the golden parachute for that Volkswagen guy? Did you negotiate that before he got out of there?
I had nothing to do with that.
You know, it's interesting. You know, Bob, you joke around like everybody's tuning out, but my ears have actually perked up here because, you know, working for a Fortune 10 company like the FFPC.
No, we're a Fortune 100,000.
there's been talk about, okay, how are we going to take care of Balky? We need to involve somebody on this. And, you know, obviously my representation is really going to bat for me here. So I think that there might be something we need to talk about off air.
His fee.
Well, Balky, I'll tell you this. What you got to do is IPO and then demand equity, and you'll be good.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, and that's what we're working towards. Listen, I want to be with the FFPC. I don't want to leave. I don't want to do anything else. This is what I want. I just want to be paid what I'm worth. You know, similar to what Russell Wilson is. I don't want to be paid like the best, but if you feel I'm the best, I want to be paid like it. So there you go.
If we felt you were the best, you would be paid like it.
And don't I know it? Believe me. Bob, let's get back.
And all kidding aside, I mean, hey, look, I enjoy what I do, and there's certainly an analytical element to it, and that translates well to fantasy football. So I'll give you the segue there.
Yeah, perfect. Because you've obviously applied whatever tactics and skills you've learned in that field to fantasy football, given that you are standing above everyone else in the main event right now. Tell us a little bit about what your strategy was going into your main event draft and actually how it unfolded as the draft moved forward.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, strategy may be a little bit of a strong word. I do have a kind of a general framework that I apply to all fantasy football drafts, and I'll get to that in a minute. I think with respect to the FFPC main event draft specifically, part of the strategy, as you call it, was influenced by the timing of the draft, as I heard Bo talking about last week. And I think part of it also was influenced by how I expected the flow of the draft to pan out. As far as my general framework, I've been playing fantasy football for 20 years, and, you know, as you alluded to earlier, about 13 in these high-stakes leagues. And I've always been a guy that waits on drafting a quarterback, and I'm kind of known for that in my home leagues, particularly one. I got to throw a shout out to one Halfle. We're in our 18th year here, and there's, you know, just a couple of us that that we wait for a long time. So I do that, and I wait on kicker and defense. So as a result, I tend to focus early on you know, the flex positions, if you will, the running back, wide receiver, tight end for the first, say, 8 to 10 rounds. And there I build the core of my team, a little bit of depth. And, you know, historically I had been partial to locking down the running backs early because in my mind those very often did represent the best value. But I think in the last couple of years I've become a little bit more balanced and evolved a little bit to be less running back biased and more focusing on position value at a given point in the draft. At what position does a certain player have the most value relative to the others? So that's kind of my framework. In terms of the main event, you know, as you guys obviously know, the drafts are held after the Thursday night kickoff game, which of course is Patriots Steelers this year. And I guess the interesting twist is that those stats do count for our game here. And it really does add a very interesting array of variables to the drafts in terms of, you know, how much do you weight the week one game and how much does that really matter in the context of the season and all that. And I think based on a couple of guys having huge games, that really kind of really established in stone what the top of the draft would look like. So, for example, take Gronkowski. I kind of had a feeling. I was picking second, as you guys know, and I kind of had a feeling that the guy picking first, who also was going to be my week one opponent, was probably going to take Gronk. And frankly, if he didn't, I was. So the way I thought about it was, you know, gee, I can't give up 35 points right out of the chute in week one and risk losing a game right away in an 11-week season. So that really, for me, just solidified saying, look, let's just take Antonio Brown. He himself had a huge game, you know, 28-plus points. And rather than maybe be tempted by, say, a Le'Veon Bell, who obviously is going to put up a zero in the first week. And so I kind of started there. And then, based on a lot of the drafts that I had done online over August and early September, as well as looking at a lot of average draft position stats, I kind of had a pretty good idea of what running backs and wide receivers would fall to me at 2-3. So then I kind of started the core that way. And then from there, I just kind of followed my general framework of building those flex positions, best value, best available. And I think in the end, I constructed a team that ended up with a pretty good balance of, high floor guys and high ceiling guys.
So the guy you took in the second round was Lamar Miller at the 211 spot. Were you targeting him at that area? He's had a little bit of a struggle to start the season, but what do you think about him going the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I was targeting Lamar Miller, to be quite honest. After starting with Antonio Brown and kind of having, a pretty good idea of what running backs would get there at that 2-3 swing, late second, early third, and maybe some of the wide receivers would get there, I really scrutinized some of those guys. Guys like Justin Forsett, Frank Gore, maybe a LeSean McCoy falls, maybe a DeMarco Murray falls, and, of course, Lamar Miller. And I just kind of focused on upside and downside for each one of those. And I personally, my personal analysis resulted in me finding a lot more downside with guys like Forsett, Gore, and even McCoy, who was there for me, actually, at 211, and I passed him by for Lamar Miller. And I just felt like Miller had a pretty high floor because he's a three-down back, doesn't have a lot of competition for carries. He's young, doesn't have a lot of mileage on him. But at the same time, I kind of thought he has a high ceiling, too, because I do like Miami this year as an emerging team in general, and you kind of like to have good running backs from good teams because they're playing with the lead and, trying to kill the clock a little bit. And I also like their offense, the fast-paced offense that they run under Bill Lazor, who served under Chip Kelly here in the Philly area. And they're led by a QB, Ryan Tannehill, who's kind of, developing as a young QB. He didn't start playing QB until fairly recently, so I think he's got a lot of upside. So in general, I really like Miami, their offense. And also, I think the cherry on top for me was, I think they're playing a pretty favorable schedule this year as well. So I really just kind of felt like Lamar Miller was a good choice for me at that point. I felt good about it.
Quick question from the chat here, Bob. Of course, we're talking with Bob Riley, the leader in the FFPC main event. This is actually not really from the chat. It's from the studio. a mutual friend, Rob, of course.
Don't pull the thing back.
Whatever. our producer wants to know about your 13th round selection in Michael Crabtree. Your thoughts on Crabtree moving forward as we look through the rest of the season. Could he be a top 35 guy with his talent and now that he is healthy and looking like he's over that Achilles injury, or I think it was an Achilles injury, whatever, it was a lower leg thing. Your thoughts on Crabtree going forward for the rest of 2015, Bob?
Yeah, I kind of like Crabtree. He's a guy that I have on a bunch of my teams, and it's one of these, I sort of had him in the same category, though not quite to the same level, but the same category as like a Vincent Jackson, and that was to say, he is opposite a guy who's gotten a lot more attention than he had in the preseason. In the case of Vincent Jackson, of course, it's Mike Evans. In the case of Crabtree, of course, it's Amari Cooper. And in each case, you're talking about the veteran here who's getting less attention and is kind of perceived as the number two, even though it's a guy who's got a bit more of a track record. But what I liked about both of those guys was that they did have that, hotshot young guy that would at least attract some attention from the defense. And I think in each case you had a young quarterback who might rely on the veteran. And in each case, I felt comfortable that the number two was better value than the guy who was perceived to be the number one, just because they are going so much later. And in my opinion, both guys, Vincent Jackson and Crabtree, could put up numbers that are fairly comparable to the guys that were perceived as the number one. So, yeah, I do like Crabtree going forward. I think he's got plenty of upside.
Talked about your second round selection, your 13th round selection. I want to talk about your fifth round selection. At the 502, it was Jarvis Landry for you. This is after you took Lamar Miller, a fellow Dolphin, at the 211. Did you have any concern that two high draft picks, selected in the first five rounds of the draft, could prevent you from really exploding in weeks 14 to 16 when you need as many points as possible to cash that $300,000 check? Or were you just looking at it from the aspect that these two guys give me the best possible chance to put up a ton of points every week?
Yeah, it was more the latter. I mean, in terms of doubling up, I'm not a guy that's sort of in favor or against that approach. I'm not firmly in either camp. The way I looked at it was, you know, as far as Jarvis Landry himself, I'm looking at a guy that caught 54 balls in the second half of the season last year. And that was his rookie year, by the way. And he already has 16 receptions through the first two games this year. And the way I look at it is, out of all the stats that we try to project in this game we play, the one that has proven to be actually the most steady and predictable from year to year is number of receptions. So I do tend to like high-volume wide receivers like a Landry. And in my mind, I sort of view him as an Antonio Brown light. And I'm hoping for a similar career progression and a big leap forward this season. As far as getting back to your question on doubling up on Dolphins, you know, I just talked about how much I like the Miami offense in general. So I don't mind having, I think, the two best offensive weapons from that team. And their schedule, specific to weeks 14 through 16, is home Giants, at the Chargers, home Colts. And I look at those three teams, and I see teams with defenses that are at best average, in my opinion, and offenses for those three teams that are good to great. So I expect those games to be shootouts. Not to mention the locations of those games, you're talking about December now, are Miami, San Diego, and Miami. So I would expect good weather for those games, which is not something you're going to see for a lot of players in a lot of games at that time of year.
Interesting.
Yeah, the weather aspect. I like that. Where's Experto in the chat? He could probably comment on what weather we're going to be having in the final months of the season.
I miss that guy.
I miss Experto too.
So how have you been playing the waiver wire so far in the leagues? Have you made any big moves so far in the first couple of weeks?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'm in a lot of the leagues, your online leagues, and just the one main event team. Across some of the other leagues, I have spent some money. It's kind of funny because every year, you know, going in before we get into the fab, I promise myself that I'm going to save my fab dollars, and then, of course, inevitably, weeks one and two come along, and I see a player or two on my roster that I hate looking at on my roster, and I just have to cut them. So I generally do end up making some moves early, you know, sometimes for flavor of the week type guys. Some of those work out, some don't. I'm not going to go through all my leagues. It's pretty boring probably for people to hear about it, but I do have, as a result of some of these purchases, a couple shares of guys like Chris Johnson, Philly Brown, Rashard Matthews, Leonard Hankerson. I did get one on Travis Benjamin. I'm not super high on him. I just kind of threw out I'm not going to let him go for less than this kind of bid, and I got him. And an interesting one, actually, to me, though, is in a couple of my leagues, Torrey Smith shook loose after a terrible week one, and then I scooped him up, and, he had a better week two. So we'll see, how that turns out. Of course, with all that said, I have a pristine record right now in my main event. I have not spent one fab dollar.
Nice.
And I want to try and keep it that way because, for now, I like every guy on my roster. And given the great start so far, it would be nice to save this money and then really strike with one big bid when that one potentially big piece is out there down the line. You know, maybe this year C.J. Anderson or Justin Forsett or Odell Beckham. And speaking of those guys, by the way, I actually looked back at the team that won my main event league last year. He didn't have a phenomenal draft, but believe it or not, he added both C.J. Anderson and Odell Beckham through FAB last year.
Wow.
So that helps you win it.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. It's nice, too, in the FFPC, you have the playoff week, so if you make the playoffs, there's only four teams that have money to spend, and usually one or two of those teams – one of the four teams will forget, and one of the other teams will have like $4 left.
Like how you assume ignorance.
Well, yeah,
25% of the
one team will forget, and one will have no money. So it's going to be you and somebody else. That's the key. That's a key.
Hey Bob, let me ask you a selfish question here. You weren't looking for a response, were you, Dave?
No, I was just making a general point.
Perfect. Okay, Bob. Selfish
for normal.
Selfish question here on Torrey Smith. And we always talk about how Dave and I play in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship where we drive down from Wisconsin every year. And that Torrey Smith got dropped in one of my main event leagues there, and I didn't know how to bid on him. I'm not going to – I'll tell you as soon as you tell me, but how much did you bid on Torrey Smith in that league that he got dropped?
I believe it was a little over 200. I always add a couple extra dollars to try and snag the people that bid, you know, kind of the even numbers. So it was, 203, 204, whatever it was.
It warms my heart. I'm thinking on the same level as the guy leading the FFPC main event. So I bid 210 on Torrey Smith, and I ended up getting him. But I was so ticked off because there was two bids. There was only two other bids on him, both for $4. So I could have gotten
Don't you hate that?
Totally upset me. But the fact that you said you went a little over 200, I feel a lot better about it now.
I'm glad you just reassured yourself and wasted everyone's time.
And you know what? I'm going to have a great weekend now, no matter what happens. Bob, let's get back to your main event team here. Talk about your seventh-round pick, Jason Witten. You draft him as your number one tight end in the seventh, but then in the 11th and 12th, you get Jordan Reed and you get Austin Seferian Jenkins. Was it part of your strategy to make sure you had three tight ends by the end of the 12th, or did it just fall that way that those guys ended up being the best value for you there?
Yeah, definitely the latter. You know, I think that, and that's the way I kept looking at it. As I alluded to earlier, you know, the FFPC scoring for tight ends, you know, I was talking about Gronkowski, is such that they can really be sneaky value plays. I mean, with the double flex lineup that allows us to start three tight ends plus the 1.5 PPR, I think that snags some of the longtime fantasy football players like we are that, you know, we're kind of conditioned to discount the tight end position to some degree. But this league's really different. When you look at the double flex, to me, it kind of levels the playing field in a way that you should look at running back, wide receiver, tight end really as one big flex position. And if you do that, I think what's kind of interesting, if you look at, you know, some of the consensus season-long point projections, and I download a bunch from a bunch of the sites just to kind of get a sense of how other people are thinking, and then I have my own separate board. But when you look at some of those projections and you project Witten out, his scoring ends up being comparable to guys. I'll give you a couple names here, and I'm shocked by these names. Frank Gore, Mark Ingram, Andre Ellington, Latavius Murray, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Sammy Watkins. I mean, those are names of guys that are going, you know, third through fifth round in most of these FFPC-type drafts and football guys-type drafts. And here I am picking up Witten in the seventh, who's scoring the same number of points as those guys. So to me, I thought that he was a good value. In terms of forgetting the points and, you know, the tight end position as a whole, as far as him personally, I think he's one of those guys that's kind of gotten old and boring and people were sort of trying to cut bait a year early rather than a too late. So I think he's become kind of undervalued the last couple of years. You know, people outthink themselves trying to find the next big thing rather than taking this guy who's going to outscore the next big thing by, you know, 50, 60 points this year. So I personally thought that he was a high-floor guy because he's a high-volume target for Tony Romo and hopefully now Brandon Whedon. But I also thought he had a high ceiling because he's the number two target on a Dallas team that I thought this year would be passing more than last year, frankly, because of the loss at DeMarco Murray. So at that point in the draft, I thought he was good value. And you look at my roster, I'm sitting there with two running backs, four wide receivers, and no tight ends. He just stuck out to me as a value. I had him as about probably 30 points higher than any other tight end left at the board on the board at that point. And that delta was just too much to pass up relative to kind of the other positions and guys that were maybe 5 points better than the next guy. So I thought he was just too good a value to pass up. Now, as far as the other two guys, Jordan Reed, I just felt like he was a steal in the 11th round. I mean, he's certainly injury prone, so he's got lots of downside. But I really think his upside is immense. And at that point, you know, start getting the later rounds, I'm looking for upside. And, you know, once Niles Paul went down in the preseason, and that's Reed's main competition for targets at the tight end position in Washington, I felt it was a good upside play there. Those two guys last year combined for 89 receptions and 972 yards. So I think this guy's got the upside to crash top three at the tight end position this year, if he can stay healthy. And so far, that prediction is looking pretty good. He's off to an awesome start. He's got 19 receptions and 241 yards in just three games. So he's looking good. As far as ASJ, it's a shame. He got hurt. He's out for a while. But I did like him as an upside play for a lot of reasons, so I'll probably keep him. He's one of those, you know, former basketball player types like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gage, Jimmy Graham, Julius Thomas, all of that. And I was reading some things coming out of Tampa that, you know, he's starting to get it mentally. And now he's got a quarterback that can at least deliver the ball. You know, Winston may turn it over, but he can at least deliver the ball. So I kind of liked all those things. And the fact that the young QBs like Winston a lot of times do seem to prefer those shorter throws in the middle of the field as opposed to the longer throws to the outside. So I feel really good about my tight end core, you know, absent the ASJ injury.
Talking with Bob Riley, the FFPC main event leader. Bob, we do have time for an email. I'm sifting through the emails here, and they all, quite frankly, I've called the listeners out on this before. They suck again this week. These emails are really bad. But one of them is good, Bob, because it's about your Eagles. So I figure we could ask this one. You could offer us some pretty good insight on this. This is from Lee in Urbana, Ohio. He says, hey, week two leader, what are your thoughts on Philly this year? With the exception of Jordan Matthews,
It seems like everyone else is underperforming, and I drafted them all over the place. Which ones will turn it around and which ones won't? That's Lee in Urbana, Ohio. What do you think, Bob? What are the Eagles that you should not be worried about? And what are the Eagles that you should be worried about?
It's a great question, and we're all scratching our heads right now. I mean, out of the eight quarters of football they've played so far, they've played 1.5 good quarters of offense, and that was the second half in Atlanta. You know, Matthews has gotten a lot of garbage points, and I know he said outside of Matthews. You know, we're worried about the offensive line, and when the offensive line's having trouble, that really does make the whole offense sputter, and that's what's happened so far. You know, hopefully Chip figures it out. You know, kind of an interesting observation that's been floating around Philadelphia here from some of the beat reporters for the Eagles is that the coaching staff may actually think that Ryan Matthews is a more talented back and perhaps a better back. He's looked better in practices. So you might see if, in fact, Murray does not play this week, and I heard you guys talking about it earlier that, you know, he was questionable, you might see Matthews get a lot more carries this week. And if he does something with those carries, he might be able to get that job. So I think he's an interesting upside play. I would encourage people with Matthews on their rosters to not cut him. And in leagues where he has been cut, I actually have a couple of those in my home leagues. I would actually encourage people to pick him up as a potential sleeper going forward. So that's one. I think Aguilar, a lot of people liked him. He was going a little too early for my taste in most drafts. But I think he's the kind of guy that could put it together in the second half. You know, once he starts to get the professional game down a little bit better than he has it now. So that's another one. Those would be the two that I would focus on. I was down on Murray. He was a guy that in that Lamar Miller analysis I talked about before that I just came up with more negatives than positives. You know, one of them was the mileage. One of them was the fact that, you know, he was going from a line that has a completely different blocking scheme than the Eagles do. So I'm down on him. Bradford, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion. As much of a fan as I am, I can't get myself to think that he's going to be this terrible the whole year. So I'm probably too biased to answer him. But for the others, you know, I think there's some upside, some downside.
Great stuff. Good stuff from about the Eagles. We go to the horse's mouth on this show, Dave. Screw the beat writers. Screw the ESPN talking heads. We go to the high stakes players. And one Philly fan, Bob Riley, just happens to be leading the main event. Giving you the real. Let's have him give us some more real.
All right, we're going back to the well here for a little more advice from you. Give us a sleeper starter for week number 3 and a stud that you would consider benching this weekend as well.
Yeah, I think in terms of the sleeper starters, there are so many running backs this week that are, you know, you guys were going through the analysis, that are questionable, that are banged up, that may play, may not play. If they do play, they'll be ineffective. So I'm kind of looking at some of their replacements here as sleeper values. I'll start with my own Devontae Freeman against Dallas. And for as much as I was singing Lamar's praises earlier, Lamar Miller, A, he's banged up, and B, he's facing Buffalo this week. So right now in my lineup, I actually am starting Devontae Freeman and not starting Lamar Miller. So I'll start with Devontae Freeman. And then just as a footnote, I would add guys like Bilal Powell, James Starks, and Ryan Matthews, as I just alluded to, as potential sleepers behind guys that are either nicked up or just may not play at all. In terms of a stud to bench, I personally think this is an easy call, and I'm just going to go right to Matt Forte. Why? Well, number one, Jimmy Clausen is playing for Jay Cutler, enough said. No Alshon Jeffrey. Matt Forte himself has a knee issue right now. They're playing on the road in Seattle against a desperate and ferocious defense that just got Cam Chancellor back. I mean, to me, even if Matt Forte is playing, and I believe he's listed as probable, no thank you.
And lots of the Packers, too, because they're mad.
Exactly.
I guess. I mean, I think the fact that they're 0-2 is more reason
they're
than...
super mad.
Oh, they're...
they're really super
they're
mad.
Hyper, they're hyper mad.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. So, okay, so, I mean, you could actually say, Bob, that Lamar Miller, you consider benching this, in addition to Forte, but Lamar Miller, if you have Devontae Freeman in there, I mean, Lamar Miller is a guy you might consider cutting with, or not cutting, but sitting with all these sleeper running backs out there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I agree with that, though, put it a different way, if you ask me who I would play this week between Lamar Miller and Matt Forte, I would play Lamar Miller over Matt Forte, personally.
There you go. I like it, and I agree.
Bob, what a treat it's been having you on the show. I hope we did not jinx your team. You've obviously have a well-documented record of doing very, very well in main events, winning a lot of money doing it. And this could be your best team yet. I want to wish you best of luck. You joined the bulky legion of FFPC players that I will be rooting for the remainder of the season. And who knows, if we see you at the top of the leaderboard after this weekend again, maybe you yourself are the perfect cure to this FFPC HSFF jinx. And we look forward to that.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to you guys and your teams.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Bob. We appreciated having you. And you can follow Bob on Twitter at Bob Reils. That's B-O-B-R-E-I-L-S. Good stuff there. A lot
yeah,
of
you can tweet him and ask him what you think you're worth.
A lot of financial stuff on there. I checked out his Twitter feed. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
actually what I'm going to follow.
You'd be in hog hen.
Good. I didn't ask him for any advice.
Do you want me to spell it again so you can write it down?
Yeah, please.
B-O-B-R-E-I-L-S. One
All right,
out. And there you go.
All right, I'm out.
Yeah, and which, by the way, the FFPC.
My penmanship is so terrible.
I fully agree with that. I've seen it for more than a decade. It's terrible. It's really, really awful.
I should have gotten like D's instead of B's in like second grade.
Do we
would have helped out a little bit.
Let's move on past the penmanship segment of the show and talk talk a little HSFFH, FFPC, DFS, FC, LA.
Nice.
That's not bad. Still needs work. So anyway, this is for our FFPC FanDuel segment for the FFPC Daily Fantasy Championship. We're going to give you advice. We're going to give you our lineups. I have one lineup, and you have, I'm assuming, several. You're only going to give us one.
Yeah,
give us your best one.
All right.
We put five on this, by the way, last week. We're going to put five on it again this week. I did slightly better than you last week. You
it was not slightly. I was embarrassed. I got destroyed.
We had 408 entrants in the FFPC.
There we go.
And contest on FanDuel. You finished 140th with 140th out of 408. Whatever.
Hey, that you know that wins a 50-50, right?
Yeah. You scored a 108.86.
Sucks.
I did a little bit better.
Lucky. How many points did you score?
I had
a good week.
I had a 145.18.
Wow.
That was ninth place in the contest.
Ninth out of 408.
Yeah. So that'll probably be the best I do all season.
You're like in the 3% society or
2%. Yeah, I had a really good week last week. So without further ado, do you want to give your lineup first and we'll leave the main course after after you give us the appetizer here, Dave?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I got to hear this.
Get used to it because I only have the rest until games start Sunday and then I can't talk smack anymore because my team will probably put up a 60 or something.
All right, let's go with this one. I mean, I'm going to roll this one out.
Okay.
All right, are we doing by position again?
Yeah, let's do that. And you're going to give your whole – that's how we did it last week. I honestly can't remember. You gave your whole lineup?
I think we did it. Yeah, I think I did my whole lineup.
Okay, all right. Do your whole lineup, though.
All right, I'm going with Tom Brady at quarterback.
Okay.
Home game. I think they'll do well.
This is against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, laying like 14 points. Devonta.
Can you give us a price on that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Brady's 8,700.
Thank you.
Devonta Freeman at 6,500.
Oh, you're rolling with Freeman.
Yep, I'm rolling with Freeman.
Rolling with Bob Riley's advice. I like it.
Yep. I'm also rolling with Bilal Powell, actually, for 5,200 in the running back position, assuming Ivory's going to miss.
I got to tell you, that is a sentence I never heard.
I never thought I'd hear you say.
Like, by the way, Gerzak said this week, and I quote, "I'm rolling with Bilal Powell this week."
Feel pretty good about it.
You know, unless you were playing college DFS like 7 years ago and Bilal was tearing up Louisville. Well, that's just terrible.
Quit interrupting my lineup. All right.
Anyway.
All right. Demarius Thomas.
Okay. Well, he's 8,400. Okay.
At Detroit.
All right.
I'm taking Randall Cobb on Monday night for 8,200.
Isn't Demarius in the Sunday night game too?
I don't know. Who cares?
Well, no, but this is your thing. You always say that players perform better under
right.
the lights.
So. Stars come out.
Okay, so obviously that wasn't part of your thinking here. But
Not in that particular case.
Okay.
I'm running with
Cobb's price? I'm sorry.
8,200.
Okay.
I'm with Eddie Royale with cheese at Seattle.
No Alshon Jeffrey. Is Marques Wilson banged up as well?
I think a little bit, but he's playing, Royale. Actually, Royale is he's questionable as well, but he's been practicing. He's going to play. 4,700. He's super cheap.
Okay, hold on. So
Jesus Christ! You interrupt all of my.
We're gonna go through
thing.
It. I want to.
I'm gonna interrupt all of yours.
That's fine. I want to let this breathe a little bit. So you're spending $4,700 on Eddie Royal, who's going to be covered by either Richard Sherman or, you know, Cam Chancellor or Earl Thomas or whoever the other corner is, Maxwell or whoever it is there.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Clausen throwing it to him.
Yeah.
On the road.
That's right. That's it's a contrarian.
Holy F. That's not even contrarian.
Contrarian.
That's like the contrarians look at that.
Hey,
and they're
cheap,
like
4,700.
Oh my God.
So then I have Gronk at tight end.
What's his ownership going to be? Like 0.00001?
It's not going to be as low as you think.
Okay. It could be interesting. If Royal blows up.
I don't think he doesn't have to blow up because the rest of my players are quite strong.
Okay. Fine.
Then I have Gronk at tight end. Nick Folk at kicker for 4,600.
Okay.
I actually like Nick Folk at home against Philly. It's going to be a game with a lot of plays, and I think Philly's going to suck, and I think the Jets are going to kick a lot of field goals.
That is underrated. That and again, I brought that point up at the top of the show. Bilal Powell likes to catch passes. Mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick likes to throw them. No Decker. Brandon Marshall will be out there. Could be a very fast-paced game. I think you're on to something there. So the more plays, the more special teams plays.
And since I have some other stud players and I went cheap on Eddie Royal, I'm going with the Seahawks defense at 5,300, one of the highest on the board.
Hey-o.
Laying monster points. But all those things we talked about earlier, to me, makes the Seahawks defense – not that you have to take them, but it's a really good, decent selection.
Any cash left over?
No, zero.
Zero. Okay. So run through that lineup again. Just say the players.
Brady, Freeman, Powell, Demaryius Thomas, Randall Cobb, Eddie Royal, Gronk, Nick Folk, and the Seahawks defense.
All right. So there you go. That is Dave's lineup. Undoubtedly the winning lineup this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you
heard it here first. All right. So let's get to mine. The second place lineup this week, hopefully. Which, by the way, if I win a main event team, do I just sell that?
We'll figure it out, but you won't get it.
Yeah, I won't get it. So
we can sell it to somebody.
I honestly didn't think about it, and then
we
can
sell it to Kurt and Leroy because they'll be buying.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that.
God knows they're not going to win any money this year.
Yeah, no. this is all
I've
great
seen
news.
The draft that they drafted.
This is all great news for the FFPC. So here's my lineup, Dave. Quarterback Cameron Newton for 7,900 at home against a Luke McCown-led Saints team. I think he crushes it this week.
I like that pick.
Okay, thank you. Running back. Marshawn Lynch at home against the hapless Bears. He runs up and down the field. It's going to be awesome. He really is in a breakout type game in the first 2 weeks. I think this is the week he's like goes for 150 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, assuming he plays, he's questionable.
He's questionable. I'll adjust later. If honestly,
we can group text each other.
I think
and then tweet it.
I think Le'Veon Bell is $100 more than Lynch. If I'm remembering correctly. And there was a lineup I had with Bell in over Lynch with one adjustment where I still can afford it. So if Lynch is out, I'll play Bell.
Charles is also 8,700.
Oh, maybe I'll just do that.
Charles is solid.
Yeah. I always like
Packers linebackers.
I always love playing people against the plaque.
Yeah.
I always love playing. Well, they did really good last week against Seattle, but I always love playing players against the Packers defense. I don't know why.
Makes sense usually.
Okay, you remember the running back I was ripping on you on, saying it was terrible?
Yeah,
Bilal Powell in my lineup as well for $5,200. Again, I think he catches roughly 20 to 30 passes this week. He's gonna kill it. And honestly, I may take him out if Ivory is. I'm betting on Ivory missing.
If Ivory plays, obviously.
Yeah, so then I would take him out, but he's in there now. Dave, my receivers, two of the three receivers I have. Had in my stellar lineup last week. One, Antonio Brown. I'm not even going to tell you who he plays because it doesn't matter. Because he crushes it every single week. 9,300. I'm paying through the teeth on this one.
You are.
I don't mind. So that's fine. So Larry Fitzgerald, 3 touchdowns last week.
Still cheap.
Yeah, 6,700. I think that's like 1,000 more than he was last week. I want to say he was like 58 last week. So he's 6,700 this week. And I'm playing him. By the way, I don't think I said Marshawn Lynch's price. He's 8,700. Larry Fitzgerald, 6,700 is my second receiver. And then I really didn't want to take this guy because of how the rest of my lineup shook out. But I have Allen Robinson.
I don't mind. 6,600.
6,600 against the Patriots is my third wide receiver. Obviously crushed it with the big plays last week. And in a GPP like this where you have 400 plus players, I think if he does, bust a couple of big plays again, that could be really good.
He'll get a lot of targets, and they'll be losing most likely.
Tight end, $5,900. Your boy at the Ravens, Tyler Eifert.
Ah, nice.
So I did not get Gronk, but I do have Eifert in my lineup this week. I like that as well.
Those games a lot of times turn into like 34-30 games. Like Baltimore, Cincinnati, it's crazy.
Yeah, and last week, the Ravens defense looked terrible. I started them in Kentucky in like 2 or 3 different places, and they were awful against the Raiders. Now I know they had to travel to time zones and
Now they just flew back.
And now they flew back. And they're back in the East. So I don't know how it's going to go, but I do like Eifert's prospect in week 3. Kicker, Gostkowski for the Patriots, $5,000 against the Jaguars. And sticking with the Patriots theme, $4,700.
That's a good value.
Is my defense. Now, let me ask you this, because this is the concern I had with Robinson.
I do want to bring up another player, but go ahead.
Are you concerned for me, if you were me, playing Allen Robinson and the Patriots defense?
Not necessarily. I mean, the Patriots defense could crush them. They could have a couple, they could have a defensive touchdown, they could have a punt return or whatever. And then they would, then it's more concerning to play the defense and then like Brady, you know, something like that.
Right.
Now, Robinson, yep. They're going to have to throw.
Right.
That type of thing. So yeah. I think you're all right.
And, okay, so that was my thinking as well. I wouldn't have played Yeldon.
Right, or
and,
running
and Patriots
yeah,
defense.
That's also,
yeah,
that's all.
And I wouldn't have played Brady. I probably wouldn't have played Gronk in the Patriots defense.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, go ahead. Your point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be using Brandon Marshall in a lot of leagues this week. I think it's 7,400. I just don't have him right now. I'm in a lot of lines.
I did have him in this.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Here's the other. I had a lineup instead of Cam Newton, Nick Foles, I actually like quite a bit this week, and I had him in there, and then I had Marshall in over Robinson, but I just didn't like the fact. Who are the Jets playing? They have the
Jets.
Yeah,
they're at home against Philly this week.
Yeah. There's maybe that wasn't it. There's another reason why I didn't like Marshall, and I can't remember what it was. So I took him out, and I actually ended up liking this lineup better. So that's what I'm rolling with right now. I have $0 left over. The quarterback is Cam. In the backfield, Lynch and Bilal Powell. Receivers, Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Allen Robinson. Tyler Eifert's the tight end, and the special teams are made up of the Patriots and Steven Gostkowski. So that is my FanDuel lineup this week. We want to wish you luck. Dave already posted the link in the chat. Did you just post it again?
No, I didn't. But if you want, you can just go to your My Teams page and click on one of the banners, and it'll take you right to it.
Yeah, it's right on. It's right there, and you're going to get an email in your inbox tomorrow morning with the link in there as well. Sign up, and you can play against me. You can play against Dave. We have a separate little side bet on this as well that hopefully I can just stay afloat.
I'm just still hoping my Funchess bet actually wins. Was he at 3 catches or 2 catches?
It won. It won. I mean, he had to come within 92 points or whatever, 62 points of Benjamin, which is total crap. I was going to be nice to you about our Martellus Bennett bet, like because he had to finish as the number 3, number 4, or number 6 tight end.
That was the bet.
Yeah, that was the bet. And
could
I was
have been 5.
And then I remember Lance is in the check. Come on, Balky, give him 5. Give him 5. And I'm like, no. And I was gonna be like, you know what? It'll be fine. I'll just throw in 5. But you know what? No, I'm not, because I'm sour about this whole Benjamin thing.
So my bet is I said that Bennett's gonna be the 3, 4, or 6.
I think it was 3, 4, or 6. Yeah, it was something weird like that.
Oh, these wagers.
They're fun. Not as fun as what's going to happen next week on the show. And this is what I teased at the top of the show.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you paying attention, which I'm sure none of you are. If you're counting at home. Next week, October 2nd, is the 200th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Very excited. Dave and I are going to be doing the show in tuxedos. We're going to have champagne. We're going to go two hours next week.
Oh,
should
no,
I get
really?
Some champagne tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to go 2 hours next
week.
Yeah,
let's drink champagne.
We'll get some champagne. Moet. I don't drink anything but that.
Oh, I thought it was Moet.
Or you know what? I'll make it an exception if you want to get Ace of Spades. I'd settle for that. Moose Piss.
Let's get some Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, that's probably what we'll end up drinking, in all honesty. So 2 hours.
We're going to get a 40-ish Schlitz.
Schlitz malt liquor.
Yeah, my dad used to work at Schlitz.
Perfect.
I had a Schlitz fishing lure when I was a kid.
We're going to go. I still have a Schlitz. It's like a bar light hanging in my office downstairs at my house. Anyway, we're going to go 2 hours. We're going to start an hour early next week. So it'll be 9-8 central, 2 hours. And you say, Balky, why are you going to go 2 hours? What's the reason for going 2 hours next week? We have a star studded list of guests. Just confirmed. These are the only ones that, like, there's going to be more. These are the confirmed ones we have so far.
This is like Letterman.
Former world champion Jason Kahn. Kentucky Fantasy Football Commissioner Phil Elliott. Official mascot of the show, Two-Packer, Ron Meyer. Josh Radzik, who won multiple Football Guys Leagues last year. Our good friend from RotoViz and the Fantasy Game Theory podcast, Jake Rickroad, will be on the show. From DraftSharks.com, Jared Smola, our good friend, sports betting man, Lance Turvis, and of course, Rob Vieira, all going to be on the show, booked on the show.
Let's get Rob Pulaski on.
Well, should we try to get
mutual friend
Rob on?
We'll
try to get mutual friend Rob on as well, if he'll actually let us do it. So that is all coming up next week. Remember, 9-8 central is what we're going to do next week for the show. So
definitely check that out. I want to thank Bob Riley for coming on the show tonight. I want to thank FanDuel, Gatorade, FedEx, the FFPC, our producer and mutual friend Rob, our audio engineer Bryce, and most of all of our listeners. Next week, our 200th episode gala extravaganza with a ton of guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. Remember to play the FFPC Daily Championship. Check out that link on your FFPC homepage and in the email tomorrow. Enjoy week 3, everybody. It is so good to have fantasy back.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.